is what comes next? And to help answer that question, a complicated subject indeed, we have called upon a man who has probably spent more time beyond the wire than any other American civilian, certainly any that I know, in and among the people of Iraq, from one end of the country to the next, is our friend Dr. Michael Rubin, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and a lecturer at Johns Hopkins University in the Naval Postgraduate School, a man who has written extensively on the region and, among other things, edited the fabulous Middle East Quarterly for 5 years. So he brings great expertise to the subject matter. And, Michael, tell us what we should make of the now apparently neck-and-neck contest between a former prime minister of Iraq by the name of Alawi and the current prime minister of Iraq by the name of Maliki, and what it means not only for the people of Iraq, but for us.
Well, when it comes to the sentiments expressed by President Obama, I actually certainly agree that the Iraqi elections were an important step forward in democracy. The hard part, however, is actually now, with the jockeying for position, as you said, between former interim Prime Minister Ayad Alawi and incumbent Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. What we should be looking at this is, instead of just as a horse race, we should be looking at this in terms of being a barometer. Iraqi politicians are shrewd, as are any politicians, and they're going to start to try to ally themselves with where they suspect the power will be. The more Iraqi politicians that either gravitate towards Iran like moths to a light, or in Ayad Alawi's case, gravitate towards Syria, the more worried we should be. Just this past week, we've heard, for example, General Odierno condemn Ahmad Chalabi for being too close to Iran, and indeed, in recent months, Ahmad Chalabi has been too close to Iran. However, it would be anachronistic to say that that's always been the case. This past week, Jalal Talabani, the president of Iraq, who we used to consider an ally, has been in close consultations with the Iranian supreme leader. That should worry us, and it should cause President Obama to reconsider just how quickly the drawdown of U.S. troops and influence occurs.
Michael Rubin, that's a key point here, and I think it's one that all of us in the United States ought to be reflecting on. The president seems absolutely determined to pull U.S. forces out, really, no matter what. Vice President Biden has recently declared that this will be, a signal victory in the legacy of the Obama administration. It ain't necessarily so, is it, if these troops come out prematurely and in the vacuum that's thus created, we find Iran or Syria or both or perhaps others filling to our great detriment and that of the Iraqi people.
Well, Frank, I never thought I'd say this, but you sound a lot like James Baker and Lee Hamilton in the Baker-Hamilton report, who said exactly the same thing.
Premature
withdrawal will only lead the United States to have to go back. I'd also like to cite Lee Smith, a fellow at Hudson, at the Hudson Institute, great new book in which he talks about the so-called strong horse, that in this case we have to recognize that Arabs are going to gravitate towards those who they see are going to be the more powerful force. They may not like the Iranians. They may like the United States, but they're going to make their accommodation with whomever they see is the strongest on the block. And unfortunately, President Obama is signaling again and again and again that that is not us.
Yeah. Michael, we could go on at greater length, and I'd look forward to a further visit with you on this, because obviously how these jockeying for dominant political primacy in Iraq will bear greatly on how successful all of our efforts to date have been. But if I may, let me segue to another theater. There's been some high drama lately in Pakistan. And specifically, we saw some of that drama playing out here in Washington, as you know, with a strategic dialogue that took place between a Pakistani delegation led by its foreign minister, Makhdoom Shah Mahmood Qureshi, and our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And on the occasion of a press conference, the foreign minister of Pakistan made the following statement.
Today, the Taliban are on the run. Today, the militants know that there is a government, and the people of Pakistan and the public opinion of Pakistan are united, and collectively they are going to defeat them. The armed forces of Pakistan have performed heroically, and we are proud of their performance. The ordinary citizen has suffered. Innocent citizens have suffered on account of terrorism. But that has not weakened our resolve. Every casualty makes us more determined to defeat terrorism and to reverse extremism. And we will succeed, because defeat is not an option.
Michael Rubin, does this bear any resemblance to reality as you see it?
No, unfortunately, it does not. The Pakistani army has been making some inroads against the Taliban, but unfortunately, it seems to be both temporary and it doesn't seem to be what the strategic dialogue has all been about. It's ironic that Obama used to criticize the Bush administration for personalizing the engagement with Pakistan, and yet this is what he's doing specifically with regard to Pakistani Army Chief General Kayani. And what did General Kayani get in return? He gave us a 56-page list of Pakistani requests for more military aid, F-16s, and a nuclear partnership. In addition, Pakistan outright refused Secretary Clinton's request that Pakistan take action against the terrorist group Lashkar-e-Taiba, which has been conducting operations in India, and which both NATO and the United States see as a global terrorist group. The other thing that the United States failed to get was a Pakistani pledge to target Afghan Taliban in North Waziristan and Quetta as well. In effect, what we did was we granted the Afghan Taliban a safe haven in Pakistan, which also isn't in our interest. So in a lot of ways, I think that this was, I mean, we could put this on a pedestal as a case where, A, the rhetoric doesn't match the reality, and B, what just poor skill U.S. negotiators have.
Yeah, deeply troubling, because we're watching, it would appear, this sort of double game on the part of the Pakistanis playing out one more time. And as you say, Michael Rubin, the effort to get credit for defeating the Taliban, and it is selective at best, doesn't seem to extend to the Taliban that is waging war against our forces in Afghanistan, just the Taliban that is part of the problem they're facing inside of Pakistan. More on all of this to come with you, Michael Rubin, I hope, and thank you so much for joining us here again at Secure Freedom Radio. Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute, our go-to man on so much of the world that is up for grabs at the moment. Next up,